At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Today, a new Time magazine article pretty much says that the Democrats are, they're saying the quiet parts out loud, like literally. You won't believe it. We will get into it today. And a new gun control bill calls for you to be psychologically evaluated if you dare exercise your Second Amendment right. Happy Friday. Buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy one. It starts right now. Welcome to the News and Why It Matters. I'm Sarah Gonzalez, and I've basically just given up for the week. I am ready for the weekend, in case you couldn't tell. By the way, if you like the sweatshirt, it's Chad Prather. This is a Chad Prather sweatshirt. I'm personally in love with it, mostly because it keeps me warm in this freezing cold studio. Joined by today, we've got Eric July in the house, Blaze TV contributor. Thanks for being here. And we've got Rob Eno, Blaze media critic. Rob Eno,
thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. Eric, I have to say I thought of you in this first story where I teased before, you know, we opened the show that the Democrats are like, they are really legitimately saying the quiet parts out loud. And I thought of you because there was this Time magazine, I guess it's an article. I feel like it's an expose, honestly, but here's the title of it: The Secret History of the Shadow Campaign That Saved the 2020 Election. And it goes on to describe a loosely organized coalition of operatives who scrambled to shore up America's institutions as they came under simultaneous attack from a remorseless pandemic and an autocratically inclined president. And then it says, their work touched every aspect of the election. They got states to change voting systems and laws and helped secure hundreds of millions in public and private funding. They fended off voter suppression lawsuits, recruited armies of poll workers, and got millions of people to vote by mail for the first time. They successfully pressured social media companies to take a harder line against disinformation and used data-driven strategies to fight viral smears. I mean, this goes on to explain how a bunch of people got together. Here, let me just give you another quote. Even though it sounds like a paranoid fever dream, a well-funded cabal of powerful people ranging across industries and ideologies, working together behind the scenes to influence perceptions, change rules and laws, steer media coverage, and control the flow of information. Like, this is a real, like, they literally just admitted to all of the things that we accuse them of doing, and things, by the way, that I think probably could get this show banned from YouTube. I mean, you'll get banned if you talk about all of these things, yet they're admitting that they did it. And they said, this is where you come in, Eric, they were not rigging the election. They were fortifying it. And they believe the public needs to understand the system's fragility in order to ensure that democracy in America endures. I think what I was just, what I just listened to, what I just described is anything but democracy. But I thought of you, Eric, because I always hear you saying the game is rigged, the game is rigged. And I'm like, they literally just admitted the game is rigged. They just chose to call it fortifying.
Yep. It's a war on rhetoric. This is what they have mastered. The only thing that they lied about in that article was that it sort of had to do with a bunch of different ideologies. That's simply not true. We know it's just one particular slant that had to do with much of this. But I'm glad they're finally admitted, because I'm thinking that I can now, I'm allowed to talk about it because I can just reference the Time article and I won't get banned or demonetized or get my strike for spreading misinformation, because they just specifically admitted to that. So I think everything's on the table now. But seriously, guys, you know, when they talk about stopping the, I guess, the disinformation. I think to me, that's the biggest one that they admitted to, because we had said this and we alluded to, and they called us conspiracy theorists when we would say they would specifically suppress certain types of folks that were peddling a particular narrative that they didn't agree with or something like that. And they would just claim that it was misinformation. For Christ's sakes, we have this whole ordeal going on right now with the fact checkers and the AOC saying that it was mostly false, that people said that she was not really in harm's way because she wasn't at that particular part of the Capitol complex where the insurrectionists were actually at. So that's what we're dealing with. And of course, they did ramp it up. And we saw that. We noticed that. You'd put little disclaimers near everybody's post that had anything to do with the election and said, oh, well, this is being disputed and all sorts of things. So I'm glad that they're finally admitted that they got all of people with the big money spreading across different industries to get everybody involved. And it has nothing to do with having these safe and secure elections, which those to me are bogus terms or maybe antithetical to one another at this state. But I'm glad they're finally admitting it, mm-hmm. because they got the result that they were, of course, desiring. And now everything's out there because, of course, nobody's going to do anything about it.
Well, and Rob, to add to Eric's point here, and I want to give you the floor. It's like not only are they admitting it, They're shouting it, right? They're doubling down. They're proud of the work that they did.
Absolutely.
That's why they want you to know.
Right. They're proud of it. Basically, yeah. Glenn has said that there's a cabal that's trying to do this, and they admitted it. They call him a conspiracy theorist, but they admitted the conspiracy.
Right.
I mean, it's absolutely amazing. And the thing that gets me is, you know, Facebook, Twitter, all these guys are like, no, we have like boards and we have independent fact checkers that look at stuff, and they're the ones that, you know, if it gets a little bit crazy, they're the ones that take it off. Time just admitted that they were working on the orders of this like group of people that was headed by a union president, the AFL-CIO guy. I mean, it's absolutely insane. And like you said, I love the part where they said, well, you know, they had some conservatives too. No, they had the Lincoln Project. They didn't have some conservatives. They had like the grooming organization.
Right.
You know, that's what they had.
No kidding.
Okay, I mean, they did not have a bunch of conservatives that were working and are afraid of this. But they're going to continue to do it because they can get away with it. Because I guarantee you that if I post this on my Facebook wall, all my liberal friends from Massachusetts are going to do stuff like, well, they were just trying to protect the election.
Right.
There is voter suppression.
Right.
There is this. They changed the rules in the middle of an election. It's what we said that they did. Mm-hmm. That's why, like, Lynn Wood and those people were crazy by saying the voting machines and all that kind of stuff. All they had to point to was they changed the rules.
Yeah.
In the middle of an election. How do you verify? How do you verify that somebody's actually legal and a citizen and able to vote if they don't show up in person with an ID?
I mean, that's a great point. And not only that, let's go back to just election day, right? We don't need all of the early voting. We don't need to give them time. Real absentee issues, I understand. But I think that those are very rare. Now, the encouragement is, why don't you just submit your vote by mail and just drop it in the post office box and hope that it gets to where it needs to go? You don't need to show up on election day. And it's like, I thought we were supposed to like try to show up on election.
And they didn't even give you an audit. I mean, they only like 15,000, I forget the number out there in Georgia that they supposedly audited. But for the most part, they wouldn't look over any of this, even though this was an entirely new process, even when you consider the actual mail-in voting, which is the most bizarre part of it. And this was what I was saying. You know, I've obviously said that I believe all these elections are a little quack, but that in particular tells me that they were trying to push for something that was bizarre because they didn't even bother to say, yes, this is a brand new process that we're doing in terms of how we're handling our national election, and we're not even going to look it over again, audit any of these particular votes. And then when it made it to the court systems, they didn't even bother to look it over. They said, no, there's nothing there. It was bizarre that this all happened with something that was just implemented, rules that were changed right on the fly, and they didn't even give you that. So again, you're playing a rigged game.
Well, and Rob, let me just add to your point too. Not only were they changing the rules when this was happening, they also were going out and giving interviews. I recall one man talking about it was going to be, it may look like a red mirage, was the term that he used. This was a Democratic operative who said it's going to look like a red mirage whenever the votes start coming in, but don't worry, just wait. Once they count the mail-in votes, then we will, basically win the election. So it's like, not only were they changing the rules, they were telling you what they wanted to do to make sure that they could fudge their way to winning, and then they did it.
Right. So here's the deal. I said a bunch of times leading up to the election that you can't do the stuff that they wanted to do after the election because intent of the voter, courts are very, very loath to overturn elections. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. On the basis of fraud, because they believe that it takes away my civil rights having cast a vote, which is why I said the whole time, you need to be prepared for this. You need to do it ahead of time. And that's what my liberal friends will say. They'll say, well, why didn't you sue ahead of time to change the laws? Time just admitted that there was a concerted effort to stop those lawsuits.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Why didn't you just do this? We tried.
Yeah.
Like, they're telling you that we tried.
Right.
And that, yeah, it's. Once a vote is cast, it is very hard to overturn the results of the election, even if you can demonstrate widespread fraud,
mm-hmm.
because you're taking away the votes of somebody else.
Right.
And that's kind of has been the problem from the whole time. It's why I told people that I knew in the Trump campaign that had gone to like Pennsylvania, like if you on Sunday don't have like a bombshell the Sunday after the election, this is going nowhere. Pack it up, go home, just be done with it.
Yeah. And that kind of leads me to, I think we've got another story later in the program. Let's go ahead and get to it really quickly, this Marjorie Taylor Greene story. So Democrats, of course, they didn't learn their lesson from the judicial filibuster that they nuked, Harry Reid and... who was it? Mitch McConnell, who said, you are going to regret this. You are going to regret this. I'm telling you. And then sure enough, they did. Well, they didn't learn their lesson. And Rob, you're talking about something that I think that Republicans or conservatives need to come to terms with, which is Democrats never play by the rules. They are never going to play by the rules. And the longer you stand up and you say, well, I'm just going to be morally superior and just continue to just be the good guy and play by the rules, you are going to continue to get clobbered in every single election because you have to realize who you're dealing with. So another example of that is this Marjorie Taylor Greene situation. Obviously, she made some questionable comments, I'll just put it that way, that happened prior to her getting elected to her seat. It was, she was kind of dabbled in conspiracy theories, that some of them were very wacky. Some of them, I think there are a lot of people who signed on to, but I think that the main thing I think that she tried to get people to understand when she took the House floor and she apologized was people have a distrust in government. And that's how these conspiracy theories get latched onto. That's why people believe them. That's why people believe, there are some people who believed QAnon. There are some people who believed this and that because we don't trust the government. And that's why, I wanted to come here and change things, which, again, she said she was sorry. She said she shouldn't have done it. And the Democrats went on to completely disregard rules, traditions, everything. And they decided to strip her off of all of the committees that she was on. Now, again, usually that is up to the party itself. So the Republican Party, the minority party, would still be able to make the call of whether or not they were going to strip her. They decided not to strip her. Democrats overrode that. And I want to get your thoughts, gentlemen, but let's listen to Kevin McCarthy explaining to Democrats that they may regret this a lot sooner than they think. Watch.
Now, privately, I've had calls from many Democrats acknowledging what they're doing is wrong. They understand that this partisan power grab is not only cynical, it's hypocritical. If this is the new standard, I look forward to continuing out the standard. Because if you look for a side that has a leadership that's done something when their members do something as a member, not prior, look to me. because I did just that. But when a Democrat freshman said, Israel has hypnotized the world, that supporting Israel is all about the Benjamins, and that 9/11, some people did something. Did Speaker Pelosi kick her off Foreign Affairs Committee? Or did she keep her on the committee and even pose with her on the cover of a magazine?
It is, of course, Representative Kevin McCarthy, who was referring to Ilhan Omar, who, as he pointed out, is not stripped from her committees, even though she made those comments. Eric, really
this
quickly.
This is something that a lot of libertarians, as well as conservatives, I've grilled them on the show a lot of times. And so it's my folk, y'all folk, same thing. In which they have an inability to read the room and they're culturally inept. It's a hard pill to swallow. People hate when I say that, but that's the reality of the situation. You have absolutely no idea what you're dealing with. You are trying to hold people to a standard, your opponents to a standard that they not only don't hold themselves too, they don't even hold really you to in their regards, because they'll just switch the rules whenever it benefits them. The analogy that I've used is like getting in a boxing match and you're trying to fight straight up. Gloves are honest. You're fighting straight up and your opponent's willing to low blow you. They bought off the referee. They bought off the judges on top of that. You're trying to fight fair with people that have no desire to do that. That extends, and this is why I always say politics are on the downstream. It's the lagging indicator, because that has already manifested itself in the aspects that I'm in, for example, that have nothing to necessarily do with politics, in which, you know, we talk about cancel culture and all those sorts of things that we have long been dealing with, where people switch rules on you and they don't hold their own folk to the standard that they will hold you because you are politically different from them. The minute libertarians and conservatives understand that, the minute they will start winning. Mm-hmm. But until you acknowledge that, I don't care how morally superior you think you are, how honest you are, until you acknowledge that, you're not only going to continue to lose, you're going to get your tail kicked, because they understand that there's absolutely nothing that you're going to do with it. So they'll low blow you, they'll kick you square in the gonads, and you're going to do nothing about it.
Mm-hmm. Rob.
Yeah, this happens all the time. It happened after Scott Brown won the special election in 2010, if you remember, with kicked off the Tea Party. Massachusetts now changes their election, their special election rules on like a whim, depending on who leaves, who doesn't leave. They did it with the mayor of Boston. There's a conservative African-American police chief that like resigned because he was going to run for mayor. They just said, oh, we're not going to have a special election now. We're just going to appoint somebody. Like literally they do that. They do this all the time.
Yeah.
Rules don't matter. And, you know, Marjorie Greene said some crazy things, but there's some truth in some of the stuff that she said. She just went a little bit, you know, there's no Jewish space lasers. That's the stupidest thing.
Yeah, that was a little far.
But there are people that questioned if the fires were started by, you know, adversaries,
right,
direct energy weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this was like in like some defense magazines and things like that, that you could have read about this and things. So there's always a little bit of a kernel of a truth.
Mm-hmm.
She went a little bit crazy. And, you know, we can admit that she's crazy.
But the people voted her in.
Yeah, they voted her in knowing she was talking about Jewish space lasers, probably. You know, I mean.
I mean, the information was out there, I guess.
Yeah.
And if they want to recall her, I'm sure that there's a process that they can go through to have that happen. Certainly, it shouldn't be the Democrats just stripping her of her.
I mean, if they wanted to do this, and they didn't do it because this would end up horribly for them, there's actually a process by which you can say, no, this person can't belong to the House of Representatives. Like, that's in the rules of the House.
Right.
They could have done that. They could have just said, you're gone. You don't get a vote. You're gone. Go home. But they didn't do that. They did this weird in-between thing to placate their base.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that they're doing with impeachment. You don't impeach somebody that's no longer in office, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to do that. And they're going to cause, you know, widespread protests as they continue to do this. But they almost want that.
Yeah. I think so, too, which, again, I mean, I think that that's because historically the Democrats don't know when to stop. They just keep doubling down on the bad behavior that makes people question them and their integrity. And as Kevin McCarthy said, they're probably going to regret this. It's going to come back to bite them a lot sooner than they think. All right, we've got more to come in the program, but we got to take a break. Back in a minute. Yeah, they're just like, can't. Democrat Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, who is a huge disgrace to Texas, by the way, introduced a gun control bill. By the way, I believe that this was introduced last month, and one of our guests, Amy Robbins, CEO of Alexo Athletica, referred to it earlier this week. And it's incredible that even myself, there's so many other things going on in the news that something as important as this was kind of pushed by the wayside until we could take a breath from all of the other news and get the information to you. But this is very scary, will be very scary if it passes. Its purpose is to provide for the licensing of firearm and ammunition possession and the registration of firearms and to prohibit the possession of certain ammunition. So it calls for the Attorney General to establish a licensing and registration system through ATF. And you are supposed to give the government the location of your firearm. So where you store your firearm, you got to tell the government where it is and the make, model, and serial number of the firearms that you own. And by the way, you need to undergo at least 24 hours of training and get a psychiatric evaluation if you want to purchase a gun. And this is in addition to a background check. So, and I think there's something about people who live with you as well having to undergo some sort of, yes, which could potentially involve other members of the household in which the individual resides. Where do you even start with this? Let me just toss this out here, Eric. Was the Second Amendment not to protect, like we can use it to protect ourselves from the government? So what good would it do to tell them what weapons we have and where they are stored in our freaking houses?
Which would be the only reason as to why they would want that information is if they intend to either take it from you, strip it from you, or disarm you, or what have you. That's literally the only reason why a registration would need to exist. That's it. That's the only reason. So it's a dangerous precedent to be set. Unfortunately, we've inched closer and closer to this, and a lot of compromising has unfortunately been done by way of gun organizations, Republican Party members, and so forth. We have not moved away, moved closer to, let's say, having more gun rights, if you will. We've moved further away from that. This includes, no people don't like me to say, this includes your last president as well. So it's dangerous. I hate it. All gun laws, as far as I'm concerned, every single one that you can think of, they're infringements. I hate them. We should despise them. And it's those people that are, of course, already in office that benefit the most from disarming their citizenry that would promote such thing, because they don't. They want you helpless. Yeah. They want you dependent. Just like a lot of European countries are right now, in which if the government decides to just all out attack them, you stand absolutely no chance because you've willingly, unfortunately, gave them your guns, or they know exactly where they're at. Mine's underwater just in case.
I lost all mine in an accident. Yeah, so it was crazy.
Just in case anybody had any questions. But this, of course, is a dangerous thing, but unfortunately, this is the direction that we're moving in.
Rob, in addition to a license that you will have to have, also it's going to establish federally, well, if it were passed, which, I mean, there are a lot of we're controlled by all Democrats. You have to be 21 years old federally in order to purchase a weapon, on top of all of the other constitutional breaches.
So you have to be 21, I guess, to have freedom of speech. So you can't have freedom of speech before you're 21. You can't have any of the other
amendments
to the Constitution, the rights and privileges.
Interestingly enough, yeah. No.
Yeah, you just can't have those. I get that. To your point, what was really interesting is, if I remember my history correctly, some colonists told the British where their gunpowder and their weapons and their musket balls were held. Yeah. And then the British went by boat, I think, and some guy in Boston kind of drove around and said the British are coming because they were going to get the guns and the powder and the ammunition at the depot in Concord that the colonists told them where the weapons were. boy, I haven't heard this story before.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
That went down.
And again, I mean, it's like, yes, they're proposing it. It hasn't been, you know, passed. Yeah. They haven't brought it to the floor. So who knows what's going to happen with it. But it does give you kind of a window into what
Absolutely.
They're wanting to push.
And that's the most important thing, which I doubt it does. But either way, it gives you
right.
it's what they want. You know exactly what it is that they want. They want to basically make it, I won't say impossible, but very, very difficult for you to be a legal, whatever that means, gun owner. Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means that they won't send goons in the event that you get it in the way that they say that you shouldn't get and jump through all these hoops. And that's the interesting thing. Certainly when they start to talk about psychiatric evaluations, happening by way or rather authorized, I'm pretty sure they have their own sort of itemized sort of test that you have to pass. It probably has something to do with politics. I'm pretty sure I'm on every single list. Do not let that guy own anything in the event that that was something that they would pass. But of course, like you had mentioned, we know, and that's perhaps the most important thing that we need to address, is that that's where they're at with it. That's what they're thinking. It may not be successful right now, but you know exactly what it is. So you now know how to navigate. They want you disarmed, and they want it very, very, very difficult for you to be able to defend yourself, not from deer, but from them.
Mm. Rob, what would you say to people who might be, you know, middle of the road, blue collar Democrats, people who appreciate the Second Amendment, who are maybe a little bit shocked by the Democrats introducing a bill that was such an infringement on their rights?
Won't remember it. They'll forget it. I mean, that's what they do. It's how, but, you know, you see in states like Louisiana, Louisiana has had a dramatic shift in their Republican enrollment from former Democrats that have gone Republican. So you see this happening. You know, as much as we talked about the election, if this New York 22 seat finally gets seated where the Republican has like a 150 vote or whatever it is lead, it'd only be like a 6-person majority. Like there are, you know, in 2 years, enough people could die that special elections happen that Nancy could lose the majority then. I mean, I looked at the laws up in Vermont. They have a Republican governor. I mean, Bernie Sanders is like 80 something, right? If Bernie Sanders passed away, you know, a Republican would be appointing that replacement. And the Senate is 50-50. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think the reason you're not going to see this happen is because of people like Joe Manchin,
right.
who
yeah, they
like
might be
are in West Virginia. And if he did this in West Virginia, his reelect number would be like south of what Liz Cheney's reelect number is in Wyoming.
Yeah, they'll boot him for sure. All right, we've got more to come, but we got to take a break. Back in a minute. Fox News host Tucker Carlson claimed in a pretty big report, in case you guys have not heard last night, that Bank of America, which is the second largest bank in the country, they secretly surveilled customers considered to be persons of interest in the Capitol riots last month. Gosh, it's already February. Last month in January, and they handed that private information of those customers over to federal investigators. Here is a portion of Tucker Carlson last night. Watch.
But at the request of federal investigators, Bank of America searched its databases looking for people who fit a specific profile. Here's what that profile was, and we are quoting. Customers confirmed as transacting, either through bank account, debit card, or credit card, purchases in Washington, D.C. between January 5th and January 6th. Number two, purchases made for hotels, Airbnb, RSVPs in Washington, Virginia, or Maryland after January 6th. Number three, any purchase of weapons or at a weapons-related merchant between January 7th and their upcoming suspected stay in the D.C. area around Inauguration Day. And four, airline-related purchases since January 6th. End quote.
I love whenever I see Bank of America's headline on the bottom of the screen and it says BOFA, and I really want to make a joke here, but I'm not going to. But during this probe, Bank of America actually eventually identified 211 customers who met the, quote, thresholds of interest They, of course, gave that information. And the FBI investigators, actually, there was at least one of these customers who was questioned and interrogated and, by the way, cleared of wrongdoing. So they had, I'm sure, had their lives turned upside down by the FBI. And
Lord knows how many mistakes they've made over the years when they had the wrong guy. See, that's the dangerous part. And when we talk about banks, we talk about money. This is why I always talk about those institutions and as a cathedral, and I say that they're like extension, of the state. Mm-hmm. And that's an example of this. When you're going so far as to work with this, specifically the federal government, to give them information about your customers, which I would think violates, of course, any sort of privacy rules that you'd have in place, maybe not.
There is a law that says, a federal law that protects the confidentiality of financial records.
Right, which is I just assume that. But they're telling you at least that at minimum, they're willing to work with the federal government. I mean, I know Tucker said that it was upon request. The fact that they're asking those institutions anyway is scary. But even more so, the fact that they said, here, this is the information that we have to try to utilize that info to then criminalize someone else. Granted, they were cleared of any wrongdoing, but what if they weren't? Mm-hmm. Is always the scary thing. So when we do talk about banks, we talk about a lot of these big corporate entities, we need to talk to them and discuss them not just as private institutions, because that's kind of not how they operate. They've shown time and time again, this is beside the regulation or the taxation and stuff that they benefit from. Or the grants or the subsidies that they actively get. Well, when it comes to bank, the Federal Reserve laces them up, or in combination with the Treasury, anytime they pump money out, they're the first ones that gets their hands on it. Topic for another discussion. However, they are extensions of them when they're willing to work with them just to criminalize them. Mm-hmm. Even if they get it wrong or right, that's a dangerous thing, but you're seeing how far they're willing to go with it.
And yet, Rob, what was it, the San Bernardino shooter, that Apple would not unlock that phone?
Oh, yeah.
Do not unlock that phone. Protect his rights. But when it comes to all of these right-wing nut jobs, they would say.
It always ends up on that one side.
Right.
Side, it,
it's interesting how it changes.
Right. This is connected to the first story. This is 100% connected to the first story with the Time. Because if you read that Time story even further, it says that, you know, why did all of these business leaders also join in? Like, even ones that had supported Trump, because the big business and big labor got together to do this election cabal, using the words from Time, YouTube,
right.
Time says
yeah.
cabal. So this is just more of the same thing. They're helping with Operation Enduring Biden. I mean, that's what I call the 5,000 or 10,000 National Guard troops that are still in Washington, D.C. As an army of occupation, basically. The medal might be like two hands going up on the medal like that, because it's Operation Enduring Biden. But, you know, if you think of it, it's crazy. This is as planned. It's an extension of what they did for the election, because, oh, these people are scary. They're going to do that. I want you to go and ask Bank of America to give the financial records and do a database sweep for the Muslim population in Minneapolis, St. Paul, if any of them have bought tickets to go to, like every month, we want you to give us the people that, like, you know, that are Muslim, that bought a gun and have a ticket to a terrorist training zone, and then bought a ticket, but didn't buy a ticket to come back and might buy a ticket later. We just want you to give us all of that every month. Could you imagine the outcry that there would be in the media if that were to happen? Mm-hmm. But you see, it's a singular threat. Having an opinion that's not woke and is different than the mainstream media is different. And, you know, it's interesting because they want to figure out, like, what's radicalizing these people. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally want to print a T-shirt that's got a picture of Brian Stelter, and it's him in a mirror. And it says, Brian Stelter looks at the person that radicalized me.
Yeah.
Like, they're the ones that are radicalizing people. They're the ones, they say red pill or whatever you want to say in the memes.
No, I wouldn't
they're
even
the ones
say
that are doing
I think,
that.
I think radicalized is a bunk term.
Oh, it is a bunk term.
I don't like using it.
Yeah. Well, they think radicalized is you think differently than
that. Well, right. And that's the problem is that they're changing the conversation,
right.
I think, you know, in addition to, you know, you pointed out the first story, but, you know, this as well that they are creating this atmosphere where, you know, Rob mentioned using the term radicalizing, this is radicalizing people. Well, we have to seek out these people. We have to take them out of society. We have to do this. And, you know, meanwhile, they're cross-referencing National Guard members to make sure that they're not part of extremist organizations like Turning Point USA.
Yeah.
I mean, they are able to completely change the conversation to, we need to root out anyone who believes in limited government and the Second Amendment. We need to root them out and get them out of society.
What was it? John Brennan was it? Him that was on MSNBC talking, mentioning even libertarians.
Yes.
Talking about us having like these, I don't know, like terror cells that are akin to what we see overseas that, you know, I guess we're going to lead to charge or some sort of insurrection or something. But when it comes to like these terms radicalized, what they want to do is demonize anybody that's against them. And this is why it doesn't matter where you are at philosophically, or rather from a political standpoint. Like me being an anarcho-capitalist, they don't like me either. They treat us just the same way as they treat y'all, because I'm the most anti-government guy at this table right now. And I'm not a Trump supporter or anything like that, but they despise us as well because they consider us threats to their narrative. And that's why I continue to call them control freaks, because that's what they are. Mm. They're people that love this power. They want to be able to do whatever it is that they want to do. And anytime there is a person or a group of people that are big enough to threaten them and their power, or strip them away from it, or anything like that, they despise that. So it's funny that you mentioned that those guys with the CNNs of the world, basically what you're saying, which I agree 100%, is that they are the ones that are leading people down this road to being so anti-government. And they're right. Like, I have grown so much as a commentator, even these last 3 months, I'm an anarchist. You know what I mean? And I'm open about it. I'm completely open about it. And there's so many folks that are like, yeah, this isn't working.
Yep.
And if we keep going this route, we're going to lead to even more conflict, because these control freaks want to continue to rule over you and do whatever it is that they want to do to you.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, more hypocrisy from the left and cancel culture. Back in a minute.
It's the GameStop. It's the exact same thing.
According to The Hollywood Reporter, apparently CBS has resumed its professional relationship with Nick Cannon. He is going to be allowed to resume production of his TV show on VH1, While and Out. So in case you missed it, Nick was, he came under fire not too long ago for very anti-Semitic remarks. And he, by the way, said, melanin comes with compassion. Melanin comes with soul. And so the people who don't have it are a little less. So I mean, I'm not like a master of the English language, but I'm pretty sure he's saying that black people are superior to white people. He also dabbled in Jewish, conspiracies about Jewish people. The Rothschilds, centralized banking, the 13 families, the bloodlines that control everything, even outside of America, was something that he talked about as well.
Things that would get everybody else banned if we said that.
Exactly. Mm. And in the same week that we see a country singer who messed up, right? He messed up. He got drunk. He said a word that he should not have said, that we do not condone, but he's having everything taken from him. And I don't believe he will be welcomed back into society. Nick Cannon welcomed back with open arms, because they say Nick has not only apologized and taken responsibility, but he has also worked to educate himself and others through engagement with Jewish leaders and on his platforms. By the way, I don't think, I never really heard a, I'm sorry.
I heard
sorry.
Him double down.
Yes.
He was doubling down after this whole thing went down, trying to get control of the show and everything. But as the theme of the show has been, it's the game is rigged.
Yes.
You are not playing. This is not equal playing field or anything like that. They have particular rules set for different kinds of people. And now you're seeing you can get away with certain things if you are a certain type, a certain person. As a lot of times that leans politically, but it doesn't just cross political lines. It crosses, in this case, it's funny to talk about the privilege here. It seems that he was able to get away with
some black privilege going on.
Yeah, some black privilege going on there. But yeah, you see how rigged it is. You see how rigged it is. This is what I'm talking about. That's a culture thing. That's not necessarily a political thing. Where they get to get away with that, and this is something that they've been doing for a very long time. Where it's one of those things where if you are you look a certain way, you act a certain way, you think a certain way politically, you can get away with a lot. Like that line that you can cross it like kind of multiple times before they have to reel you in or rather strip you away of everything. Whereas you're not warranted that sort of leeway if you don't fit that particular bill. And it sucks because you're looking at that. I know everybody's looking at that. Well, that didn't seem fair. You mentioned what happened to the country singer, but we could just name off names for the last year of people that have been canceled or were stripped away of something because of one instance of something that they did. And it's no, well, we'll give it back to them after you just supposedly apologized. Clearly, all of that was done behind closed doors. I don't think we ever heard anything about it. But that's what sucks. And it's hard to navigate, but we have to come to terms with it if you're going to be able to combat that. You have to understand that you're dealing with folks that know that the game is rigged and they're rigging it on their behalf. And they simply don't care that you're pointing out their hypocrisy or that you have the ideas. We can sit there. I can be the smartest person in the room. You are a hypocrite. You're contradicting yourself. This example, that example. They don't care. That's what it boils down.
And by the way, before I go to you, Rob, Eric, you would agree the black privilege that we see would not be extended to you because you don't.
Oh, no, I don't get that at all. I got my first strike.
It's black privilege, but only if.
Oh, yeah. I got my first strike on YouTube. We had talked about that. I don't get they treat me like the enemy. So, yes, it's a black person. But you have to think a certain kind of way, because then at that point you're I forget the term they say, like you're multicultural white or something like that, multiracial white.
Multiracial white.
Yeah, something stupid like that. Yeah. So basically, you're not a black person.
Yeah, you have to check
a lot of
boxes.
You're a white African American, like Hernandez. What was the guy, George, whatever his name is, that shot the kid down in Florida? He was a white Hispanic.
Oh yeah.
They never used that term.
I'm actually told that I don't count. My opinion doesn't count because I'm white passing. My skin is too white, so although I do have
they also say
the ethnicity
that the straight black people, straight black men are the white people of black people.
That's right. Yes. That's right. Congratulations on your privilege,
Eric.
No,
thank you. Do I get my card in the mail? How does this work?
The Nick Cannon's what he was saying, it's my understanding that it's not all of them, but there's a portion of like the rap community in black Hollywood that like believes it.
Oh, right?
Yes.
Just said the quiet part.
Yes.
Out loud, like we said.
Yeah.
But what kills me about Nick Cannon is, I don't know if you know Nick Cannon's story. Nick Cannon's mother was on the abortionist table with the implements ready to kill him, and she changed her mind. Like, Nick Cannon is probably the most pro-life person in Hollywood, and he uses stuff to do this instead of to fight. And he's made rap videos. Like, there's a rap video that, like, the mainstream media won't show you, but he had a song where he, like, goes through his mother being on the abortion table and him living. So there's powerful stuff that he's gone through. And I like Nick Cannon.
Yeah.
I think Nick Cannon is a great host of TV shows. I don't think I've ever heard his rap, and I know he used to be on Wilding Out.
Not the best rapper.
Yeah, he went to comedy. He's like, whoop, comedy.
But he could be using his platform.
But he could be using his platform for other things.
Yeah.
And, you know, you say, is it black privilege? I mean, Mel Gibson came back, right? He was like out in the wasteland for 5 or 10 years, but he can make money. It's like what Matthew McConaughey said to somebody when he's out doing his book, and somebody said, are you afraid that, like, you're openly Christian and you're not going to get jobs? He's like, they can't afford to not hire me. Like, literally was what he said. He's like, I am too big. I can do this now. Chris Pratt's the same way. They're going to hire Chris Pratt.
That screw you money.
Yeah, because they're gonna hire Chris Pratt because he's got screw you money.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis,
yeah,
same way. Those kind of actors.
Yeah,
and Nick Cannon.
We got to take a break. Sorry. And now I got to think about Chris Pratt. So we got to take a break. Be back in a minute.
Screw you money.
Yeah.
Money I'm trying to get.
forget, if you have not yet already, gone to wherever you get your audio podcasts, not on the YouTube stream. You can comment on YouTube, but this isn't where I'm asking you to go. Go to wherever you get your audio podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review The News and Why It Matters. It will help more people find the show so that they can then listen to The News and Why It Matters. You can bless them with The News and Why It Matters. Here are some reviews. One from Evergreen Statesman. I love the show and the others on The Blaze. Y'all always piss me off constantly with the news being covered, so that means you're doing a very good job informing me. The only thing that makes me not go to bed and never get up again is the entertainment. Top notch, bar none. Thanks. That's what we try to do here, because the news sucks. So we try to at least make it palatable for you. Here's Loper07. Thank you for reporting the news and for your team's ability to civilly agree to disagree on current topics. I enjoy the different perspectives offered from each of you. I support independent media and pray for the longevity of this platform. Thanks for all you do to report honest facts, not unicorn and rainbow fiction. Thank you, guys. Make sure to submit your reviews. You could see your review read live on air. And by the way, don't forget to subscribe to Young Ripa 59 on YouTube.
Thanks for listening to The News and Why It Matters. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you'd like to watch the program, become a Blaze TV subscriber and start your free trial now at blazetv.com.